In the Know is powered by the Minnesota Daily. Listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Welcome back to In the Know.
Breaking down the used news.
I'm Luke Diamond.
I'm Mariah King.
And we are jumping into a new week with big news.
Big news.
Real big news.
Wait,
actually,
are you
though.
Talking...
No, what?
Wait, I'm talking about the weed news. What are you talking about?
Oh, I was talking about
new
president news. But whatever. President marijuana, you know, tomato, tomato.
President marijuana.
Oh,
nothing but respect for my president.
Okay, no, actually, big news. The university just released the name of a sole finalist for the new president of University of Minnesota, and she is a lady. Her name's Joan Gable. She's coming to us from the University of South Carolina, where she is the executive vice president of academic affairs and provost.
Provost,
that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
We'll edit that out. Provost. I'm a journalism major, not education. And we got some more news for you on the University of Minnesota website. Go check it out.
Second piece of news is that the fourth national climate assessment,
which is what exactly?
So the federal government does this assessment, and this one is the fourth, where essentially it's a bunch of brilliant people going out, looking up at the sky and going, yeah, that doesn't look too good.
Ugh, yikes. I feel like this is bad news about climate change.
Imagine that. Yeah, so basically just what you've been seeing on Twitter and feeling in the air and in your bones and in your morals, the Earth is dying at an alarming rate, and now we know how it's going to affect Minnesota.
Oh, yikes. I kind of feel like I don't want to know this. I don't know, but
we
tell me anyway.
We will be yielding fewer crops than in years past due to climate change.
Oh, man.
So keep recycling, keep retweeting, and riding your bikes and every other thing that helps the environment.
I really like that this is the fourth assessment. I feel like the first one was like, this isn't good. And the second one
was... We should keep an eye on that.
Yeah, the first one was like, oh, this isn't so good. And the second one was like, guys, come look at this.
Guys, we better tell someone.
Yeah, and the third one was like, okay, wait, this isn't good. And now this one's like...
Like, I'm just picturing that one scene from SpongeBob where all the tiny SpongeBobs are running around in his brain and they're like, burn everything! And they're like throwing filing cabinets on the ground and like starting fires.
I wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob growing up. My parents thought it was annoying. All right, next piece of news. Okie doke, this is definitely the most exciting piece. Forget the new president. Forget the planet's death. What's really going on here at the U is that marijuana consumption is at a 20-year high. Ka-ching! no, seriously, there are people who study this. They track it. And yep, weed is being consumed in record rates at University of Minnesota. Not a surprise that it's happening during exam week. Not to me. Not at all.
I can't stop laughing. go Govs! All right, for the story this week, we are heading into uncharted territory for most of you, the St. Paul campus.
My name is J.D. Duggan. I am a features reporter here at The Daily.
Lay out real quick the story that you did this week.
Yeah, the story's about Alexis Murillo. She's a CFANS student.
Can you define that acronym?
Yeah, CFANS, it's the, what is it, the College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences, which is, you know, one of the least diverse schools here on campus.
Can you describe her for me?
Describe Alexis Murillo?
Yeah.
When she knows she wants something, she just goes for it and makes it happen, however that might be.
So my name is Alexis Murillo. I'm graduating this semester in 2 weeks with my bachelor of science in agricultural communications and marketing with a focus in food and natural resources and a minor in agricultural food business management.
Are you okay? Are you lightheaded after
good.
That title?
I dropped a mixtape in high school, so I got some breath inside of me.
She went to an agriculture-focused high school.
The Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences. If you look at the high school, there's like horses running around, there's sheep and goats. I was a naive city kid. I didn't want to go there, but it was one of the safest schools in the city and also really close to my house. Hated it, thought I was going to be a farmer and scoop poop and take care of animals. That was like my high school experience. It was right there in the city, and I got in involved and realized that agriculture was so much more than farming. And then I applied to a whole bunch of schools. The University of Minnesota was one of those schools.
She gets into CFANS and, you know, she's surrounded by kind of white rural Minnesotan kids.
Well, I walked in and I just saw a lot of boots and jeans and flannels. And
the school has like 15.2% students of color based on the enrollment numbers for fall of 2018.
The more and more I started realizing that I didn't see anyone who I could really connect with, whether that was just from similar interests or someone who had a similar background as me. I think the biggest identity that I really struggled with was being a woman of color in that college, and then also being a woman of color from the city.
So at first she noticed this, and then she started to feel it.
I think there were a lot of moments where professors would teach something and they would say a reference of something, you know, I'm sure you all know that from growing up on a farm, or think back to when your dad would buy seed for this, right? To give class examples when teaching course concepts.
Oh, interesting.
And so all the students would always look at me. And it was always just like eyes just, oh, well, she didn't grow up on a farm, or, oh, do you even know what they're talking about?
And eventually she starts getting offers from faculty to speak in front of groups of people or be in a photo shoot for a CFANS flyer. But even then, she felt like she was being singled out.
A lot of it was tokenism. So I don't know how familiar you are with that term, but overall, or essentially what tokenism is choosing someone from an identity and making them the key person to speak on behalf of all the lived experiences of everyone else in that identity, right? A lot of it was, hey, can you come speak on CFANS alumni about how great we're doing in this area in terms of equity and diversity? Can you come take photos for this flyer? Can you come speak at this event? And I, for, you know, at the beginning, right, being young, I was like, oh, cool, like they want me involved in so many different areas. And then I started realizing, like, the people that I were speaking to and the people and the things that they would sometimes ask me to like touch on or say, I didn't write or I wasn't comfortable with. And so I started realizing that a lot of, I think even too, engaging in conversation with them, when some of the things that they would say, I just didn't sit right with me.
So what did you do about it?
There is a great student group,
which is Minorities in Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Related Sciences.
M-A-N-R-R-S.
Manners.
Manners for short. Actually, a national organization.
So essentially, it's students of color in CFANS, and she reignites this group.
So I was involved in high school, and then when I came to college, a part of the scholarship, too, was to also attend Manners meeting. Went to all the meetings and started realizing that the meetings were really small. Sometimes only three or four people would show up. My second year, I decided I wanted to be vice president. So during that time, there were so many different conversations, whether that was with the deans of CFANS, whether that was with different professors, students, of how do we increase and build a better community for students of color in CFANS. And after sitting in on countless meetings and serving on panels and going to workshops, there was a lot of frustration that built inside of me because nothing was being done, or at least nothing that I seen actively was being done. I was still in the same situation I was from my first year.
Yeah, she told me a story where she was sitting with the president of Manners at the time and then the former advisor of CFANS. And they were having just another conversation of, well, what can we do to get, you know, more student of color engagement in CFANS? And she told me she kind of got frustrated.
They were talking about all the things we can do to increase equity and diversity. And I was quiet the entire time. And the advisor looks at me and he goes, Alexis, you've been quiet this whole time. It's so unlike you.
Were you quiet, like clenching your jaw? Quiet?
Yes, okay. Correct. Okay. I was becoming the Incredible Hulk, right? I was just like, ah! And
she made it sound like she basically got up and she said...
And I said, you know, I'm tired of just sitting in all of these spaces where nothing ever happens. We are the people who need to bring change. We need to be the change that we want to see in the world.
You know, then the next day she went into the dean's office and she said, I want this event to happen. I need you to support me.
I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to create like a smaller MK kickoff.
MK is MCAE, which is the Multicultural Center for Academic Excellence. And the kickoff basically brings these multicultural students together for a two-day event.
And it's the largest event for students of color here at the U. I'd led it this past year, and I believe we almost hit close to 600 people.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
It's a huge event.
And people say that it's a great experience, and it gives them that sense of community that they maybe didn't feel in their original freshman orientation.
So that event inspired me to do something similar in CFANS. And so I spent that entire summer from my sophomore year going into my junior year of planning this event, looking for sponsorship.
She got a sponsorship with Land O'Lakes for it.
And then the event kicked off in September of that year, and it ran its course the first time. We had close to 100 people in attendance, and then it just ran its course the second year. And so the hope with that is that now this is an annual event that will happen in CFANS.
What advice would you give just freshmen, seniors, anyone in CFANS, regardless of whether they're a part of a minority group or not? Like, what advice would you give them so that they don't lose hope as they're kind of navigating this school?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is to connect with people. And I think the only way to really build together and create a community is if you kind of assemble one for yourself and find people who want to fight for the same things and accomplish similar goals, if not the same goals, and do it together, because nothing can ever be done alone.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Quick clarification. 2 weeks ago at the beginning of the episode, we talked about a study that ranked Big Ten schools on their addiction recovery resources for students, and University of Minnesota ranked second to last. What we didn't mention is that a new recovery resource has emerged on campus as a result of the study called Recovery on Campus, or ROC. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.